Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews from Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years, we've been asking the entrepreneurs one on one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Andrew Gruel, CEO and founder of Slapfish Restaurant Group. And Slapfish has made healthy, chef-driven seafood approachable and affordable for the masses with signature items that include the lobstacle Baja Mahi sandwich and the house-made original dipping sauces. Slapfish was recently named on Fast Casual's list of industry's top 100 movers and shakers, and we're going to talk to Andrew about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we've got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years, we've been asking the entrepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Andrew Gruel, the CEO and founder of Slapfish Restaurant Group. And Slapfish is a chef-driven, sustainable American seafood concept served in a fresh, fast, casual atmosphere. Slapfish was recently named on Fast Casual's list of the industry's top 100 movers and shakers. Hey, Andrew, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Marty, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Andrew. It's always great to have a fellow. I understand you're originally from New Jersey. I detect a little New Jersey accent there, huh?
I'm a Jersey boy. You got it.
That's fantastic. I actually grew up in New Jersey, and my wife grew up in New Jersey, right next to the Jersey Shore. And so we were excited to have you on the show. When I learned about this concept a couple months ago, I said, oh, my God, we have to have you guys on the show. But I'll start off by asking, where are you calling from this morning?
Well, I'm calling today from Huntington Beach, California, so coast to coast.
That's fantastic. So you're on the beach on the other side, which is great. The company actually started on the East Coast, didn't it, Andrew? Did it start in was it in a truck? It was a great story.
It is. Well, it started still on the West Coast. My heart was in the East Coast, but my body was in that beautiful sunshine out on the West Coast. So we did start as a food truck in 2011.
That's great. And what was the idea, to get this whole thing started, Andrew? I mean, I am the big – I said to my wife earlier, I said, this show is going to be so tough today. I'm going to make sure I had to have a big lunch because we love seafood. I mean, it's just – was that your thing? I mean, did you love seafood growing up? I mean, how did you get into the whole thing? How did you start the concept?
Well, I mean, starting from growing up, funny enough, I actually didn't even start eating seafood until I was like 17. I was the pickiest eater. And yet somehow but I fell in love with cooking, and I ended up in the industry after actually going to college in Maine for something entirely separate. But was lobstering up there, and I've just always been in the seafood current, if you will. So I left New Jersey in 2009 after opening a few restaurants in Asbury Park along the coast and started a nonprofit sustainable seafood program in conjunction with the Aquarium of the Pacific out in Long Beach, California.
Wow.
And my goal there was to increase awareness for sustainable seafood by educating chefs and restaurateurs about the seafood industry and what kind of species to buy. It was my only 2 years out of the kitchen, but I felt as if it was my calling.
Right.
And that started in 2009, and the rest is kind of history. I realized there was a niche in the industry for that high-quality seafood in a fast and affordable environment. And that's when, 2011, I decided, hey, you know what? I should try and launch this concept.
It's great. I mean, if you guys were at a franchise show, Andrew, and someone came up to your booth and they said, so, tell me about Slapfish. I mean, how do you typically respond to them?
It's a modern seafood shack. It combines the quality of fine dining with the cost and the convenience of fast food. It's our mission. It's our goal to make seafood sexy again.
Yeah.
Right now, I think that the market is a little bit dry when it comes to good, high-quality seafood that's fun and approachable and over the top. We've got really great, awesome pizza concepts, chicken concepts. Yeah. But when you look at the seafood industry from the perspective of restaurants, you've got on the one end, white tablecloth, high-quality seafood, and on the other end of the spectrum, kind of greasy fried things, uninspired. So, it was kind of my goal to say, let's meet that middle ground and create that high quality but make it really fun and try and get people in the end to eat more seafood.
The menu, I mean, when I was on the website, I mean, my stomach was just, it was in pain because it looked amazing. What's your favorite when you go into your own restaurants, Andrew?
When I go into my own restaurants, and if I'm not counting calories, I'll go straight for the chowder, which is natural cut potatoes smothered in New England clam chowder. It's made four times a day. It's almost our version of a poutine, topped with double smoked bacon, fresh herbs, and our kind of secret spice blend. But if I'm going lighter, I mean, I'll just jump into a bowl of our pickles. We make our pickles every single morning as well. All dishes are approachable dishes. Everyone knows, but they're incredibly chef-driven.
Right. That's fantastic. What's interesting, I mean, in your background, I mean, there's a whole bunch of questions I wanted to ask you. I mean, one of these things you're doing now is you're hosting a series on FYI. It's called Say It to My Face. And I got to see some of the clips, and it looks like a fascinating show. How did you get involved in that? Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your experience with that show.
Definitely. I've always been involved in kind of media, broadcast, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And, I actually got involved. I was a judge on a Food Network show, went back when I had the food truck, and just loved TV and kind of loved the opportunity to reach out to so many people. Now, one of my angles with the restaurants in terms of actually managing social media was the Yelp reviews, right? I mean, that's so big right now, and it's such a hot topic from social media to Yelp. So the network actually put together this idea that it was kind of a restaurant makeover show, but really focusing on utilizing online reviews in order to turn the restaurant around. And how do restaurant owners who are kind of in the midst of things day in and day out, how do they deal with those online reviews? And that's where I was kind of the moderator there with my partner and guest host on the show.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It looks like a fantastic show, just from watching some of the clips, I was like already hooked on it, so I mean, it looks like it's going to be a big success. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how technology is used in your business, Andrew.
You know, right off the bat, I was trying to really bring things up Jetsons style. I probably went a little too up. I mean, if it was up to me, we would have had virtual order takers, and people just would have thought their order out and it would have gone to POS. But what we realized was that, you know, we had to kind of scale back a little bit. So we've come up with, I think, what is the perfect mix of modern-day digital platforms as well as some of the old-school style technology. I think right now, fast casual is at that point at which you really have to kind of, you can't go too far in one direction. You've got to be modern, but you've also got to be able to have the old punch loyalty cards. So for us, it's utilizing a lot of modern technology through apps and you know, various digital platforms. When people come in the store, for example, we can have our loyalty programs pop up through, you know, through our Wi-Fi. But at the same time, we're still taking people's emails and, you know, shooting them emails through the loyalty program, or we're punching cards. It's a real kind of healthy balance and mix between all these platforms and some of the old school.
That's fantastic. I know you've opened up some, you know, company locations recently. Where was your first one open? Was it in Dubai? So I guess you guys are technically international as well, aren't you, Andrew?
I guess so, yeah. We did a franchise deal through the Middle East, so we found a partner out there and utilized that as an opportunity to pressure test the franchise system in a separate market, which I think was a great learning experience before we touched on domestic franchising. Right now, our first location company-owned was in Huntington Beach.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, we started as a food truck, and we did that because before I launched this concept and sunk money into a brick and mortar, I decided let's beta test it, let's figure out what the market wants, what works, what doesn't, but under the umbrella of a food truck, build some brand equity without dumping hundreds of thousands of dollars into the concept. We rolled that over into the location in Huntington Beach in 2012.
That's fantastic. And I understand also, I saw a press release written on you guys recently. I guess you're opening up in, was it LAX and also Baltimore, Washington airports as well, aren't you?
Correct. We're touching the coasts via the airports as well.
That's fantastic, which would be a great location for Slapfish. Maybe we talk a little bit about the industry, Andrew. You know, I mean, in doing the show, you know, 8 years now, you were right, you said something earlier. You know, we haven't had, you know, in doing almost 450 shows, we really haven't had a lot of your type of concept on the show. You know, maybe you could talk a little bit, you know, about the industry. Are there any numbers on your industry and what it's doing and any trends going on?
Well, obviously, the restaurant industry as a whole is still, the numbers are strong.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what even, I saw some numbers come out yesterday saying that, quarter over quarter sales are way up in the restaurant industry.
Right.
Fast cash.
Yeah.
You know, back in 2009, we saw everyone trading down from casual to casual fine dining into fast casual because you're able to get that high-quality food at a more approachable price. And we still see that trend moving forward. When it comes to seafood specific, you know, the real issue is sustainability. Not just sustainability of supply, but sustainability of the catch in terms of, maintaining a population of seafood that's going to be able to provide generations to come. And that's really what our focus is. Sure that we're serving the right types of seafood that aren't going to go extinct and that when being caught aren't going to harm the surrounding ecosystem. So there's a lot of scientific trends, data trends there that we look at day in and day out, but it also has to be incredibly high quality, which most sustainable seafood is. So that's kind of the template within which we operate.
Yeah, which I guess is, it's funny, and it's just teaching a marketing class last night, and we were talking about having a niche or doing something different or a unique selling proposition, and that's what I got from you guys as well, Andrew, is the whole sustainability, as I thought. It's very important to people today, isn't it, compared to maybe, 30, 40 years ago, it's looking at our parents' generation.
People are a lot more aware of the food system in general.
Yeah.
Interestingly, though, at the end of the day, the awareness doesn't always translate to purchasing decisions. For example, when we opened, and having come from the aquarium and been very involved in kind of the nonprofit raising awareness for sustainable seafood, I was putting messaging all over the restaurant, at the point of sale, at the point at which you got your food. I mean, in our service model, it was all about teaching people about the ocean and marine stewardship.
Right.
And to be honest, I think, and I noticed off the bat, people didn't really want to hear it. They wanted to know in general that there was some type of seal of approval, no matter what it was. And beyond that, what they were making their decision was based on convenience, cost, quality, and maybe at the bottom of that list was sustainability. So I kind of scaled back and I said, okay, if we can connect quality with sustainability and tell that story, and by virtue of people's initial drive to and why they buy, we can connect sustainability to that. So we started a campaign early on called Sustainable Tastes Better and started teaching that actually sustainable products are higher quality. And we feel as if that's been pretty successful in raising a significant amount of awareness for sustainable seafood specifically.
That's fantastic. Did you envision franchising this concept? I mean, initially when you started it, Andrew?
In the beginning, yes. I started this as a fast casual, and being somebody with a lot of chef background, you know, sometimes you think, well, you know, chef egos, why not do fine dining, full service, et cetera. You know, it was always my goal to scale this out, and to do it through the franchising model I knew was the right way to do it.
That's fantastic. Maybe we could talk a little bit about franchising. I mean, so, you know, as the CEO of the company, I mean, what will you be looking for in your franchisees? Are there any particular type of characteristics that you'll be seeking, Andrew?
Most definitely. And that's the name of the game, is finding the right partners. Number one, they have to believe in the idea behind serving higher quality food at a higher price. And that comes with margins that aren't necessarily going to be on that McDonald's level. When you're serving a higher quality product, now you might have higher revenue as a result of that, and then you can have a better revenue pool through which you can try and create a more profitable business, better unit economics. But with higher quality sustainable products, you're definitely looking at a program in which prices are going to have to be managed by the minute. So that's number one. So they really have to believe in the cause and creating higher quality, faster food. Number two, our partners have to be really scrappy entrepreneurs. You know, franchising, I think, as the franchisor, I can continuously make changes day in and day out, right? So I have a lot more flexibility. As the franchisee, they have to follow this template but also be incredibly creative within that template in order to drive their own business, and it takes a lot of risk. So you really want that entrepreneur. I think sometimes people think that the franchisee is not necessarily as creative and entrepreneurial-driven, but they are even more so. And then number three, obviously somebody who's not out there looking immediately off the bat. If we sit down and the first question they ask is, would you be willing to consider this on your menu, or have you thought about this? I know the relationship isn't going to work.
Right. They're looking to already recreate the wheel.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. That's 90% of our conversations. So, it's, you know, that's the telltale sign right off the bat.
That's something. What's the training like? I mean, once you identify, Andrew, you know, you realize that, you know, a prospective franchisee is or could be a match. They like you. You like them. What would the training be like? I mean, do they come out to the West Coast for training?
Yeah, they'll come out and train in our store for 2 weeks, and it's very, very, very hands-on and involves everyone on our staff from, you know, from bussers to operations trainers. I mean, everybody gets involved in training these new franchisees and team members. We obviously go through kind of the quick classroom training, which is really the principles and learning about sustainable seafood in the seafood industry, seafood purchasing, how our dining decisions affect ocean conservation. So there's really a major classroom aspect to it and understanding the principles behind the brand. And then it's about, you know, just having fun with food, too, because that's what this is all about. When we created the menu template, while it was very chef-driven, we hired everybody, all of our employees had no kitchen experience. We wanted them to be able to execute chef-driven recipes, but in a simple manner. So even our franchisees that have no culinary experience can now walk in and work the line.
And that's how you know you have something too, isn't it? I mean, particularly in franchising, when someone who has no experience whatsoever can walk into, you know, a system, you know, get training for, you know, several weeks or a month or so and be able to run the restaurant. I mean, that's when you know you have something, don't you?
Exactly.
That's fantastic. What's a typical day like? I mean, you've been doing this so long now, Andrew. I mean, you know, to paint a picture for our listeners of, you know, What's a typical day like, if there is such a thing anyway, for one of your franchisees from when they come in to when they pack it up at the end of the day? What's that like?
For our franchisees, you know, that's kind of up to them.
Right.
You know, in my opinion, it's going into the store, making sure that the store is opening and operating properly. I mean, that's kind of the start of the day. It's something just as simple as kind of being there. I think that just having a little bit of presence drives your team members. From there, it's, you know, once the systems get into place, it's really just about the customer service element. Being there and being able to communicate with the guests and checking out, it's all about customer service, especially in fast casual. You can have the best food in the world and you can have the highest quality product, but if your customer service sucks, you're not going to succeed.
Yeah,
but flip side, if you've got mediocre food and great customer service, you'd be surprised at how well you do.
That's true. I've heard that before.
It's just about that presence. And then obviously, you know, kind of maintaining the consistency on the orders and continuously looking for new ways to improve efficiencies.
That's fantastic. How about the locations? I mean, what do you look for in a location, Andrew, and how much space is required?
We look for 1,500 square foot locations, but they can be as small as 800 square feet and as large as 2,000 square feet. Obviously, you want high daytime traffic. We're targeting not just, you know, obviously our primary market might be millennials, but we're also looking for those families and the neighborhood spillover. So there's a lot of moving parts when we target the demographics of the surrounding area. But at the end of the day, it's really just about letting everybody know. Marketing is huge for us. And dispelling a lot of the myths about seafood and letting everybody know that we are an opportunity for incredibly high-quality seafood. And we want people to come eat at our restaurant every single day.
That's fantastic. And studying your background, Andrew, you know, and you're now hosting this show, say, to my face, what advice would you give to our listeners? We call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. Most of them, they have it in their mind that they want to get into franchising. We find that most of them simply just don't even know where to begin their search. What would you say to them?
Find something you love. So it's all, there's so many great, you know, franchise opportunities out there, from burgers to pizza to vegan to you name it. And I'm talking just specifically in restaurants, but even outside of restaurants. So it's always about finding something you love and then just connecting with someone. I mean, it's like speed dating in a way.
Right.
You know, you got to find that connection. And when you find it, you know it, you feel it, and it obviously it's visceral and it's not something that's connected by virtue of the operations manual or the FDD. It starts outside of that.
That's fantastic. So what are the plans as a CEO? I can ask you the question. I mean, what are your plans for the future then, Andrew? I mean, where do you see Slapfish maybe 3 to 5 years down the road?
3 to 5 years down the road, I would say what we're trying to do right now is we're trying to build out a nice corporate footprint while simultaneously franchising. You know,
right.
We really believe in this concept, so We want our franchise partners to know as well that we've got skin in the game. So it's kind of about finding that perfect 50-50 balance between franchise locations and corporate. We want to grow out in markets outside of Southern California, specifically Chicago, Austin, you know, Austin, San Antonio, Portland. We're staying away from some of the big markets like New York. We just feel as if it's great to kind of create some of that community feel.
Sure.
And, you know, just continuously kind of evolve. That's really what it comes down to. Continuously try and stay in front of the fast casual franchise industry.
Although I have to say, I would love to see you guys come back. I'd love to see you back in New Jersey in Asbury Park or Point Pleasant or one of those places. That would be fantastic, you know?
It's funny. That's like on my target right now because my whole family's still in New Jersey and my heart's in New Jersey.
Great.
I love everything about Jersey. And on our menu, it's funny. We have a lot of dishes that are driven by kind of that Jersey culinary brushstroke. I mean, the over-the-top sandwiches, a lot of sauces, you know, seafood rolls, et cetera. It's very nostalgic.
That's great. Yeah, I love the concept. I mean, again, I get to, you know, I've been doing this now for, you know, 8 years, Andrew, you know, and I get to interview a lot of different concepts. And this was one I was really excited to finally get the chance to interview you and, you know, and have you on the show. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Any websites that you'd like them to go to or any numbers you'd like them to call?
Yeah, if they can go to fransmart.com, that's our franchise broker and partner with Slapfish. They handle all of our franchise sales. But also if you go onto our website and you go and slapfishrestaurant.com and click on the franchising tab, all the information is right there. You can fill out an inquiry form and someone will get back in touch ASAP.
That's fantastic. And Francmore is a great company as well. We've had them, I think we had Dan Rowe on our show, like, I think it was like 8 years ago, and I remember he was fantastic. And I know that they've worked with a lot of, like, concepts at the time that were small, and now 8 years later, they're huge, you know. So they're a great company to be working with, so I'm sure you're happy with working with those guys as well.
Incredibly. Dan is a business mentor and a mentor to Slapfish. If it wasn't for him and Francmore, we wouldn't be where we are today. So we are excited about working with them. And I think having them as a partner just further validates the fact that we're here to stay.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again, Andrew, for coming on the show. And, you know, I'd really like to invite you back next year as you continue to grow. I think Slapfish is a great concept, and I'm going to be watching you guys.
Marty, I really appreciate it. This was fun. Nice chatting with you, and can't wait to talk soon.
Thanks so much, Andrew. You have a great day, and we'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 8 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, Rich Podcast. You get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting franchise interviews many years now, and you can actually hear the show in a number of different places today. You can go to, of course, franchiseinterviews.com, where we have our interviews arranged alphabetically. We also have interviews arranged by category. So if you have a particular industry that you're interested in, you can go to the category of your choice and check out all the different interviews that we've done over the years. Our show has been syndicated in a number of different places. Of course, you can hear our show on blogtalkradio.com. We've been working with Blog Talk Radio for many years now. And you can hear live shows there, and then you can download them as an MP3. You can hear our shows on Stitcher.com. You can hear our interviews on, I think it's pronounced, I always want to call it Blueberry.com, but it's BLUBRRY.com, which is another podcast service. You can now hear our shows on iTunes.com, and of course, you can hear our shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if you're a diehard fan to our show, on Live365.com. And
We have over the years over 420 shows. So if you were to listen to live365.com for 2 weeks, there's a chance that you may not even hear the same show twice. So that's how many shows we've recorded over the years. But today's Great Quote in Franchising podcast comes from Darren Guccione, and Darren is the CEO and co-founder of Keeper Security, Inc. And what's interesting about this podcast, we had Darren on the show as the founder and the creator of Keeper, which is the world's most downloaded password manager and digital vault. And Darren is a real entrepreneur. And one of the questions that we ask on the show is, what advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur or franchisepreneur, or someone looking to buy a franchise? And that question is usually directed to someone who has been directly involved in franchising over the years. But again, Darren is a real entrepreneur. His background is in accounting and business. And I thought his response was just as great as anything that we've heard on the show. So here we go with Darren Guccione, the CEO and co-founder of Keeper Security, Inc.
Amazing. That's amazing technology. In studying your background, Darren, I mean, I was mentioning earlier, I mean, the majority of our listeners, again, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. You know, they want to go into their own business, and they're kind of like heading towards the franchise alternative. What advice would you give to them? Because you're certainly, in studying you, certainly classified as an entrepreneur. So what advice would you give to them?
Well, you know, my background is engineering, technology. I'm also a CPA, and
right.
I've always had an admiration for franchises. One of the things that I love about franchises, among other things, is that you can analyze the different franchise models that are out there, the brands, the type of businesses, and you can quickly identify which ones are successful. And typically, you know, they give you a roadmap of what you need to do to execute. You know, when you start a business without
right.
a franchise roadmap, you typically don't necessarily know where you're necessarily going to go or wind up. And
yeah.
so you get a greater sense of security and guidance when you can pick a franchise model that, A, you know, fits within, you know, your goals in life, your interests in life, and B, you know, provides a really sound, you know, infrastructure for you to build a business with a great support system around you. Most businesses that are one-off businesses don't have that. So there's a
right.
greater sense of, you know, uncertainty out there when a business owner or an entrepreneur, as you've outlined it, decides to, you know, pursue a franchise versus doing something completely fresh and new. I think the risk profile of doing the latter is much greater. So that's, you know, that's my response to that.
It's not. It's fantastic advice. So any final thoughts, Darren?
Fantastic interview with Darren Guccione. So I want to thank everyone for making our show such a success. And this podcast has really just taken off over the years. And we got some really great new Great Quotes in Franchising coming up. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.